Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for the Wilmington, Ohio Church of Christ. We pray that this message will inspire you and help you grow closer to God in your faith. Be sure to stick around after the message to find out more about how you can take your next best step. Enjoy the message.
A preacher was caught by somebody in his congregation that said, "Preacher, I got to eat my lifesaver today." And what had happened is they were always looking for different ways to remind their congregation to pray, especially for people who are lost. And they said, "We're going to pass out lifesavers, and you take one for the person that you are praying for, the person that you would like them to come to Christ. You put that in your pocket, you put it in your purse. Every time you come across it, when you empty your pockets, when something's going on, you will see the lifesaver, you'll feel the lifesaver, you'll be reminded to pray. And then when your person that you're praying for comes to saving faith, when they believe, you can eat your lifesaver." He said, "Preacher, I get to eat my lifesaver today." I don't know what reminder that you need. I don't know if it's a sticker on your phone, so every time you start swiping, you stop the scroll and you pray. I don't know if it's somebody close to you that would grab you and say, "Hey, let's go pray together." I don't know if it's getting in a group or coming to church. I don't know what reminder you need, but there is no more powerful thing you can do in your entire Christian walk than to call on God's favor and his mighty right arm to move. There's nothing more powerful you can do than to pray. We've been looking at this sermon series on politics, and we've been discussing things that are kind of controversial, maybe a little bit, or maybe at the very least contentious. And there's nothing more powerful than you can do than to pray for our political situation in our nation. There's no better way for you to get involved in politics than to pray. There is nothing that you can do on your own power that is not going to be incredibly enhanced if you are depending on God's power. And we are commanded in Scripture to pray for our political leaders. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture today that says every single Christian, every single one of us, will have the biggest impact on our leaders, our political leaders, our elected officials, the people who are impacting our lives. We will have the biggest impact on them if we will follow the three instructions Paul gives us in prayer from 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's pray and ask for help, and help from just removal of any distractions, help for just be able to focus our attention and hear what God says, and then go to him in prayer. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this opportunity. We get to gather together, and we get to study your word, and we get to be changed by your Spirit. And so, God, we're asking for more change today. We're asking for you to change us from the inside out, and we're asking for the courage and the wherewithal and the determination to obey what you command us to do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Here's the passage from God to us, written by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle." I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying. "As a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension." We can make the biggest difference If we just follow those three commands, those three instructions Paul gives us in this passage, we can make the biggest impact on our political system, the political vitriol, the political contention. We can make the biggest impact on our leaders if we follow these three commands. Here they are in this passage. Number one, pray first of all. Number two, pray for all. And number three, pray without vitriol. Pray first of all, pray for all, and pray without vitriol. Number one, pray first of all. This is what Paul commands us, inspired by the Holy Spirit. First of all, then, I urge that you pray. First of all, pray. When Daniel was in exile and King Darius came along and he basically said, I am God and I'm the only one that you can be prayed to. I'm the only one that can be prayed to. And if you pray to any other God, you'll be thrown in the lion's den. The very first thing Daniel did is he prayed. That's the first response we should do whenever we encounter anything. We should go and pray. We should pray before we overreact, and we should pray before we do react. We should pray. The very first thing we should do before anything else, we should pray. We should turn to God and get His wisdom, His strength, and His grace before we have any difficult conversation, before we have any easy conversation. We should pray. Atheists, as a last resort, will often go to God in prayer. But Christians, we should use it as a first resort. Before we do anything else, we should go to God in prayer. Jesus Christ, as he went to the cross, ready to absorb the wrath of God for all sin, with literally the weight of the world on his shoulders, how in the world could he possibly go to the cross at peace? How could he go to the cross with courage? Well, he had already done the battle in prayer. He had already won the battle in prayer. He had prayed for hours with such intensity that the scripture says his sweat became like drops of blood. There is a condition where you can be so overwhelmed with intensity that the capillaries near the surface of your skin will burst. And some people think that is how intense Jesus was praying. But the real battle was happening in the prayer time before he encountered the cross. If you want to win a real battle, and if you want to move into this political season and have an impact, you need to be reminded that the real effort you need to put into whatever is going on in our country, in our community, in our hearts, in our lives, in our attitudes, it's actually the battle is going to happen in prayer. Scott McKnight writes, he wrote that when he grew up in the Baptist church, he said, we were all about doing, doing, doing. You had to do it. And every week it seemed like somebody would ask him, are you doing your quiet time? And for them, quiet time meant he would wake up every day on schedule and do 5 minutes of Bible reading, he said, which is really not time enough to do any kind of study. Maybe a little bit. It's healthy, but it's not a lot. And then 5 minutes of prayer. And he said that was quiet time, 10 minutes. And then he was kind of astounded when he started reading about these giants of faith, these Christian people he looked up to, that they thought the number one activity to do with God was spending time in the Word and prayer. And he noticed that the people he looked up to most would not have a daily quiet time because they were spending hours in prayer first. Martin Luther said there is so much he has to get done in a day that he could not possibly accomplish it all unless he spent 2 to 3 hours in prayer when he woke up in the morning. When Jesus, before he chose his apostles, he spent all night in prayer. Jesus would often go away by himself, isolated, alone, and just spend time with God praying. And then before he went to the cross, it was so long and so many hours in prayer that his disciples fell asleep multiple times in that prayer session. The real battle is going to happen during our prayer. And it makes perfect sense. God has given us talents and abilities, and he's given us wisdom. He's given us creative powers, and whatever we put our minds to, we can have some impact because God has just made us that way. But real impact comes from not when I move and do things, but when God moves and does things, when he undergirds anything that I attempt. And that's going to happen if I spend time in prayer first. Chris Hodges, he wrote a book entitled Pray First. And here's a quote from him. He says, "In every situation you face on any given day, consider the difference if you prayed first. Before getting out of bed in the morning, pray in thanksgiving for a good night's rest and ask in advance for blessings and guidance for the day ahead. Before the kids leave for school, pray for them to remain safe, for them to gain knowledge and wisdom, and for them to reflect God's love. First thing, when you get in the car, thank God when it starts and ask for protection on the highway. Just imagine the rest of your day and all the demands, roles, and responsibilities of your life right now. Quiet times of intimate talks with God are wonderful and necessary, and prayers on the run may be more practical on a daily basis. But pray first, and then click to join the Zoom meeting at work. Pray first, and then take the dog to the vet. Pray first, and then check your balance online. Pray first, and then finish your studies. Pray first, and then cook dinner. When the unexpected happens, before you start panicking and wondering how you will pay the bill, heal the wound, fix the fridge, find your next job, or repair the relationship, you guessed it, pray first." Paul commands us, urges, encourages us, first of all, pray. Our elders, the last couple of months, have been trying to train us to pray first, and they've been having a praise and prayer time. And the reason why it's only every other month is because there is a concern that if they did it more often, some of the novelty of gathering for prayer would wear off, and there would be a gradual diminishing of people coming to pray. Do you know that it wasn't that long ago that churches would meet every Sunday night for prayer? They'd have Sunday night worship. But it takes the same amount of effort to prepare for one as it does for 20 or 25 or 30 or 60. And so sometimes it feels like it's just not worth the effort to prepare for one. And I wonder what I would do if the elders had a prayer night every Sunday night. And I think, would I show up every week? Listen, there's nothing more powerful I can do than to gather together and pray with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I am gathering and praying, but there is something powerful about gathering together and praying, especially when we pray first. And that's where God's hand is going to move. And so right now, our elders are trying to train us to pray and gather together and pray, and they're trying to set us up ahead of time for when, I mean, the political situation has already ramped up, but it is going to ramp up even more. It's going to be even more disgusting. It's going to be even more intense. It's going to be even more evil. And we are called and have a responsibility to participate in it. And the greatest impact that you will have in our political system is if you would pray. What reminder do you need to pray? How can we pray more? Well, one of the things we can do that might help is if we pray more when we gather together. And we can introduce that into our worship services, and we need it. But we're called to be ambassadors for Christ, to make a difference in this world. And the greatest difference we can make is to pray first. It's time to start praying before we act. Pray first, says Chris Hodges, and I agree with him. Second, we need to pray for all. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions, thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in godliness and dignity." All people. We're supposed to pray for all people. And specifically, Paul says, we need to pray for those who are in authority over us. He says this for two reasons. Number one, he says, this is going to impact you. You need to pray for all the people in authority so you can have a peaceful and tranquil life. The people that we're praying for, the people who are in authority, our elected officials, are in positions where their decisions actually impact us. So why wouldn't we want them to make the best decision possible? Why wouldn't we want them to use wisdom? Why wouldn't we want their relationship with God to grow closer, wherever it is? Why wouldn't we want them to draw closer to God? If they're far away from God, just one step closer has got to be healthier. If they're close to God, even closer to God has got to be healthier. Why wouldn't we be in prayer for that? And this makes a huge difference on us. So we need to pray. And it makes a difference with them too. When we pray for other people, there is, I don't know exactly how it works, but the Holy Spirit has to open our eyes. It has to remove any sinful, demonic blindness that keeps us from seeing the knowledge of truth, is how Paul says it. The beauty and glory of Jesus Christ, the goodness that he offers. And when we pray, I don't know how it works, but God's hand moves. And it's not a vending machine God, and we don't force God's hand, and we can't hold him and say, well, you told me if I prayed, you'd do this. We can't do that. There are some false preachers who say, well, if you have faith, then God has to do what you tell him to do. No, that's not how it works. But God is a good and loving Father. And when we go to him and we ask, he knows what we need before we ask him, and he still wants that relationship asking, and then he provides exactly what we need. He's a good, loving Father, and he wants to give this peace and this change and this character growth. He wants to give that, and he wants to do it for all men. He desires that all men, all women will be saved. And so he calls us to pray. And Paul here links, it's good for us, it's good for them. Paul links the spread of the good news of Jesus Christ to the peace of the land. You might hear some people talk about how in places where there's real persecution, like you start following Jesus, they will kill you or they'll kill your family members. Real persecution, how the underground church flourishes. You might hear things like that. And in China, where it is greatly persecuted with physical death or worse, the underground church is flourishing. In North Korea, where it's illegal to even own a Bible, the underground church is flourishing. You might hear talk like that, but Paul links the spread of the gospel to peace in the land as well. In our country, we have such great freedom. If we didn't have such great freedom, we wouldn't be able to spread the gospel like we are doing. Right now, our church is connected with other churches in town who are doing released time Bible education for eighth graders at the Wilmington Middle School. Well, if we didn't have a peaceful relationship between our community and the Board of Education and have this freedom, we wouldn't be able to do this. Release time is a totally legal thing. They have to get parental permission. That can't be on school grounds. We don't use public fundings. There's still a separation of church and state and all that. And so eighth graders, they leave school, they walk across the property to the Assemblies of God, and they're taught Jesus Christ. If we didn't have the freedom, I wouldn't be able to get on Facebook on Tuesday mornings at 6 a.m. and have a prayer time. The other countries don't have that freedom. And we have a prayer time at 6 a.m. A lot of people use that time. They either listen on their way to work or they pray with us before they go to work or maybe even before they go to school. And it's just a freedom that we possess. If we didn't have this freedom, we wouldn't have these baptism testimony videos that we've been watching. And we've had a baptism every week for 4 straight weeks. And if we count Tom, that we'll just say that's 5. Well, we wouldn't have those baptism testimony videos that we just share for everybody to see so that God might use their testimony and empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring one more person to Christ. If we didn't have this freedom, we wouldn't have the baptism we're going to have at the end of our worship hour today. And Paul says, pray for that. This is the prayer for our leaders is good. The prayer for all people is good and acceptable to God. And it is connected to the spread of the good news of Jesus Christ, who gave his life as a ransom. And Paul uses that word. There's ransom. You might have this in your mind, this picture of a note with letters cut out from the newspaper where, give me this or you'll never see your dog again. I don't know what kind of ransom movies you watch. But Jesus, he was that ransom. He himself is the ransom. There's an exchange that happens, us for him. He takes our place. He pays our debt. He heals our sin sickness. The exchange happens where he takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. And Paul says, when you pray, that becomes more evident, and that happens more frequently. And we need to pray first, and we need to be reminded to pray for all people. And finally, we need to not hinder our prayers. We need to pray without vitriol. Pray first of all, pray for all, and then pray without vitriol. I struggle with this one. It happens in verse 8 here. Verse 8, it says, therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. Dissension kind of maybe means doubt there, without wrath or arguing, without wrath and doubting. I struggle with this because what it's saying is we can live in such a way with our hearts and attitudes wrong that our prayers will not be heard. And here's why I struggle with this. None of us are good enough to go before the throne of God without grace from Jesus to begin with. And none of us lead a perfect life where we show up before God and we are in prayer and our lives are perfectly right where he says, oh, because you're so good, I'm going to hear you. No, we depend on the grace of God totally. And yet he says, come boldly before the throne because you are covered and you're declared not guilty and there's no condemnation for you. And so on the one hand, we are not perfect and we always depend on the grace of Christ and we go and we pray and we're called and commanded to pray. And on the other hand, there is a real danger that we can have our hearts and attitudes in such a wrong place that our prayers will not be heard and they will be rejected. And this happens in Scripture. In Psalm chapter 80, verse 4, it says, how long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? Because the people were setting up camp in sin, they were defending sin, they were participating in sin, and they were saying, this sin is okay for me. It's not okay for other people, but I'm allowed to do this evil. And God says, I'm not going to listen to those prayers. Proverbs 28:9, God says, if anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus explains, you know, there are proper ways and improper ways to pray. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray to be seen by others. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Jesus says, you know, that's the wrong way of prayer. Ephesians chapter 4 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Now, Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8, he's talking to men and he's talking about us here. Men, usually when it says something like men everywhere, Paul is referring to both men and women. But here's a specific call to men, because in a couple of more verses, he says a specific call to women. He says, men, if you have so much anger and bitterness in your heart, this is going to impact your prayer life. And I don't know, ladies and guys, I don't know if you know this, but men do experience other types of emotions, but we filter them all into the expression of anger, unless we get trained otherwise. And that Ephesians passage that says we need to get rid of bitterness and anger and brawling and slander, or we're going to grieve the Holy Spirit. And so I will rail against so-and-so elected official, and I will complain that they are not doing how I think things should be done, and I can't believe they're doing it that way. And what I need to be doing is turning to God in prayer. And I'll see the news, and I'll just start. The temperature starts to rise. And I'll start boiling. And then I'll say something like, can you believe they did that? And now, this is something, You have to question, well, I would say it to their face if they were here, but I don't. You don't get that chance. You can't go to the president and tell him you don't like what he's doing. So that becomes slander and gossip. And it raises everybody else's temperature too. But you know what would be different? Is if we took our complaints to God and we asked him to give us peace in our hearts and we asked God to make a difference in the people's lives that we are complaining about. So guys and girls, ladies and men, we need to pray and get rid of the bitterness and anger that we have inside of our hearts. And on the one hand, we'll never, ever, on our own power, get rid of the bitterness and anger that we deal with. And so we're always going to go before the throne of God, needing God's grace to approach. But on the other hand, if we set up camp in sin and defend sin and participate in sin, and we call evil good and good things evil, there is a very real chance that God will reject our prayers. The most powerful thing we can do and the biggest impact we can have in our political season and the political election and all our political officials is to pray. And we need it to change their hearts and we need it to change our hearts just as much. So why don't we practice? Why don't we just have a prayer time? And the first thing that I need to do is I just need to pray and repent. I need to tell God I'm sorry. Number one, for not going to him first whenever I encounter anything. Number two, for not praying enough. I don't pray like Jesus prays, hours at a time. I need to build that in my life. Number three, I need to repent of my own sin and my own bitterness in my heart and anger. If you find yourself in any of those camps, whether you haven't prayed enough or you haven't prayed first, or maybe you're just dealing with some bitterness and anger, would you just start our prayer time by praying a prayer of repentance first? Let's just first pray a prayer of repentance. Go ahead, let's pray. Second, let's pray for peace in our nation, especially during the election process. Let's pray for an absence of violence and an absence of bloodshed. Would you pray for peace in our nation? Third, let's pray for healing. No matter who wins in the election cycle, there are deep divides that will need healing and reconciliation. So would you pray for healing for our nation? Let's go on and pray for healing now and healing in the election in November. Fourth, would you pray for our church? If you're watching online, would you pray for the church that you attend the most? If you watch online, pray for our church. Pray for the church you attend. We need to pray for unity in our church. No matter how the election goes, or no matter how any election goes, and no matter if the person you voted for won or not, we will first need to continue to be brothers and sisters united in Jesus Christ. Would you pray that our church stays united in Jesus? Fifth, would you pray for our elected officials? Pray for our current elected officials, our representatives, our congressmen, our congresswomen, our senators, representatives, the Supreme Court. Pray for our elected officials here in our community, our mayor, our city council. Would you pray that they would have discernment? Would you pray that they would have wisdom? And would you pray that they would show godly character? And finally, would you pray for our president? No matter if you voted for him or not, would you pray that he would have wisdom? Would you pray that his relationship with God would grow closer? And would you pray often for him? Lord, we know that we don't know how, but your hand moves when we pray. So would you help us, encourage us, remind us to pray first and pray more often. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before we conclude our time, there is something else Jesus gave us to do when we gather together that is a type of prayer, and it's called communion. Would you take out your communion packet? Our students are coming in because we're going to have a baptism following communion. Would you take out your bread? You know, Jesus did exchange his life for ours, and this communion is a reminder of that exchange. It's a reminder that our sin was put into his body, and his body absorbed the wrath of God for sin. And the bread is supposed to remind you of his body. Would you participate in the bread? God, we praise you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, that his body absorbed our sin and your wrath in our place so we would not experience the sting of death or the punishment for our sin. And we thank you for him taking that exchange. Lord, we praise you for the righteousness he has given us instead. So we praise you. Would you take out your cup? And would you remember that Jesus gave his life for you? He shed his blood for you. And his blood spiritually washes all of your sins away, making you right before God, declared not guilty because of his sacrifice. Would you participate in the cup? Jesus, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be adopted into your family, forgiven of our sins, declared not guilty, empowered by your Spirit, made right with God. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed this message. If you need someone to pray with you, talk to, or maybe you just want more information about our church, be sure to fill out a Connect card so we can reach out and help you take your next best step. Thanks again for joining, and we will see you back here next time.